Amen. This morning, I'd like to continue in our study of the book of Romans, and this will be 124 in our series, and if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 15, and we'll take verses 5, 6, and 7 for our text. Before I read, I'd just like to also mention that I received a phone call yesterday from Brother or Dr. Elvino from Saudi Arabia. And he said, pass along his greetings, Ron. And also, he just mentioned that there's another brother actually over there now in Riyadh, and who has the he's passed along the search engine. So there's now another who has the search engine, and the doctrine actually, which is going into these Muslim countries. It's interesting because when I was reading from the Voice of God and from Brother Biscoe, who probably has the largest missionary work going, where they've kind of compiled work that other brothers have done. They've kind of put it on their website, translations of Brother Branham. And they all mentioned that, you know, there's a handful of countries, Muslim countries especially, that the Word of God hasn't gone to, of which they named about seven of them, which we have brothers in those countries that believe the doctrine. So not only has the message gone, but they not only have the message, but they have the doctrine which Brother Branham taught. So I find that it's interesting because we have just a one-man work here, basically, just a little group of people, a very few, like it was in the Ephesian church, and yet through just a little work where we don't have a bunch of employees and a bunch of this and that, just any volunteer work we can do, the word has gotten out and to places where it's very forbidden to be. And yet they're very careful the way they go about it, but they... you know, they can't meet together, but they can meet in their homes, and that's the way it was in the days of Daniel. Remember, he just threw open his shutters, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in different districts, and they threw open theirs, and they were all, of course, caught. You know, and that was under the same type of system because it was in the same area, you know, Babylonia. So we want to continue to pray for these brothers, and if we could. Now, in reading from Romans 15, and we'll read from verse 5 through 6. Now the God of patience, that's an interesting title, isn't it? The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have this beautiful thought that the Apostle Paul laid out for us here. The thought of you have granted us, you've given us this grant, this great gift to be like-minded so that we with one mind and one mouth may glorify you. And that we may do so in building a relationship with one another according as it was done in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to understand this verse of Scripture this morning, how it was put together, how it was laid out, and the significance of these thoughts that Paul has spoken to us. And we commit our minds, Father, to thee, desiring this gift, this grant, to be like-minded. But we know that there's a purpose when a grant is given. We know when the government gives grants, they expect something in return. It's not grace. And we know there's a difference between this grant and the grace which is unmerited favor. And so, Father, we're looking at this grant and the expectation that comes from this like-mindedness. And we would ask that you would bring to our understanding, Father, what this is all about, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Thy beloved Son, who first was given that grant, for he said nothing but what you said, he did nothing but what you did. His will was not his own, but he forfeited his own will, his doctrine to your doctrine. And so, Father, we ask that we too might be like-minded according to what you did in your Son, Jesus Christ. And now we ask these things in his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. You may be seated. (Clears throat) Wherefore receive you one another as, or in the like manner, or in the same manner that Christ also received us to the glory of God. We're going to look at this thought here, because Christ receiving us to the glory of God, and we are to receive one another in such a manner. Now, this verse speaks of relationship between two people that involves more than those two people. No man is an island to himself, and no two people are an island to themselves. But every bit of our relationship to one another affects others beyond just those that we ourselves are in relationship to. And notice the Apostle Paul tells us, wherefore, or therefore, receive ye, that's you he's speaking to, receive you, or you should receive one another, that's you and you and you and you and all of us concerned here, those that are with you in the same mindset, that are like-minded. Because notice in verse 5 and 6, he says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you. And this word grant comes from the Greek word didomi, and it means to give, or to give something to someone, or of one's own accord, to give one something to his advantage, to bestow a gift. Now, with a grant, you're expecting a certain outcome. The government gives Children's Hospital millions of dollars every year, they give them a grant. And the reason for the grant is so that they can produce an outcome that they're hoping for. It's not unmerited favor. A grant is not grace. A grant is, that's just grace, unmerited favor. But a grant is given to you, so that you can perform a certain outcome, a certain thing. In other words, a grant expects a return on its investment. And notice what the grant is that Paul is speaking of here. He says that he may grant you to be like-minded. All right, so here's the funds, if you want to call it that. The funds is to be like-minded. Now, what are those funds supposed to produce in us beyond? Because why are we to be like-minded? That we might glorify God with one mind and with one voice. All right? And we know the voice of God is the prophets. All right? So we're looking then to be able to say what the prophets said. In other words, to say it as he said it, and to say it with the same meaning. All right? Now, it's like when he says, those that can echo, those that have, shall be given more. Those that word have is the Greek word echo. Those that have an ability, or have been given this ability to echo, they have more abundance. Why? Because an echo is a repeat. It's not just one time, it's again and again and again. And it's using the same, if I were to say three or four words with an echo, if I were to shout the echo, because the echo is best under a shout, and of course we've been given a shout by the Lord himself descending, so he's made people to be able to echo back what he said. But if I were to say three or four words and put the emphasis on the last word, then if I echo, it's not going to be the emphasis on the first word. It's going to be the exact same way, given back. Now, notice he says that now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. All right, so he's given us something. He's given us an ability to be like-minded. We're going to get into that definition in just a minute, but I just want to show you at the time of when this is to come. If you turn with me to 1 Peter, and we'll read from verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13. Notice he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, when do you gird up your loins? It's when you're ready to move out, you see, when you're ready to run in a race. And be sober. Now, the word sober doesn't have to do with your feet or your hands or your neck or your body limbs, but it has to do with your mind. You're sober, you're in your right mind. And so he says, Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope for the end. Earnestly expect for the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's a certain grace that's to be brought to us as well. And we find, excuse me, we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and reading from verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren..." Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. No, it's not 2. It's chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 1. "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now notice, he says, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." So he's not only saying unmerited favor to you, but I thank God for this unmerited favor, and I thank him for this grace that has been given to you by Jesus Christ. And he says that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, that word is logos, and in all knowledge, that is gnosko, which not only means a mental understanding, but it means a understanding based on relationship. And so he's saying that, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you, because that in everything you are enriched by him." Like fertilizer. This grace is like fertilizer. It's to take a seed into a fully mature plant. And so he says, "I thank my God because this grace is to enrich you in all logos." Not just the words of Luther, not just the words of Wesley or Pentecost, but all. In other words, there's an end time revelation that brings the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." So that, and the purpose, he says, "so that you come behind in no gift." And that word gift is the word charisma. And it means an endowment or an understanding. "Waiting for the coming," that word is apocalypsis, the revelation or the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's to be a certain endowment, a certain understanding this grace brings. And it is to make us ready for the unveiling. Get us ready for the unveiling, the revelation of Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you. Now what does it mean to confirm you? Basically, it's to vindicate who you are. The word confirmation means to say yes. You know, when I was a little Catholic boy, we went through confirmation. That was to confirm that we were indeed Catholics, you know. So Jesus Christ has come at this last day. God himself has descended with a shout. He has given us the a special endowment, a special gift, to be able to receive the revelation or the unveiling of himself, so that he might confirm that we are his. All right? "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that's Ephesians 1. That we be holy and without blame in his presence. You see? "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ." And how are we called to the fellowship? If you walk in the light, as he's in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. And notice verse 9 and verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now the fact of it is then that God has given us a gift to bring us to this, and the gift is to be able to understand when the revelation comes, to have a mind that is able to open and ready to receive a special endowment. You know, we speak of endowment, we say, well, that child is really endowed, therefore we would like to move him up a grade or something like that. We use the word endowment when we think of in terms of an ability to understand, an intelligence, so to speak. And so we're looking then at this great gift of God, this granting, as Paul says, to be like-minded. Now the word, notice he says, that we be like-minded. Let me read it again. "That ye be with one mind and one mouth glorifying God, even the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, okay, the word like-minded is a Greek word, and it's the Greek word phroneo, and it means to be of the same mind. It also means to have understanding or to be wise. So we find then that this granting is to make us wise virgin. Basically, this is only given to those that are wise or to make us wise. So the others don't have this grant. They don't have this ability to be like-minded. Now, the word also means to feel, it means to think, it means to have an opinion of oneself, or to think of oneself, but to be modest about it. To not let one's opinion, though just, of himself exceed the bounds of modesty. To think or judge what one's opinion is, to be of the same mind, agreed together, to cherish the same views, to be harmonious. To direct one's mind to a thing, to seek, to strive for, to seek one's interest or advantage, to be one's party, to side with him in public affairs. So it means a lot of things, but they all have to do with a harmony, a like-mindedness, having the same mind. Therefore, now let's read this again. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, notice, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Now, forgive me for sucking on these things, but they'll help me get through without coughing so much. Now, notice the Apostle Paul is telling us that God has given us a gift, and that gift is to be of one mind. And in being of this one mind, we will not become lofty in our thinking, but we will consider that our place is with those whom God has also called to receive the same mind. You know, I can't understand how anybody that has been given a gift from God could get lofty or boastful in that gift, for the simple reason that it is a gift. As Paul says, everything we've got comes from the Lord. So how can you get boastful about it? You didn't have one thing to do with it. You see? And this is the humbleness then that comes with being like-minded, because we realize we've all been given an opportunity to be able to think alike. Not that you want to think like me and I want to think like you, but we're thinking like Jesus thought. You see? And that's the mind that we want to come into. To be like-minded means to have his mind. Now he says, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. And now we find the key then is the next few words that he says, according to Christ Jesus. You see, to be like-minded, to think, to be like-minded one toward another, according. And the word accord, or according, comes from the root word accord, which is a verb, and it means to cause, to conform to, or agree to bring into harmony, to grant, especially as being due or appropriate, to bestow upon, to be in agreement or unity or harmony. So we see then that this thing, this like-mindedness that God is wanting to grant us or to give us is a gift. It's a gift from God. And only those who receive this gift from God can have this like-mindedness. And notice he said, it is to be done in accordance with the way he did it in Christ Jesus. According as he did in Christ Jesus. Now in Philippians 2 and 5, we all know the scripture says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. The New International Version says, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty good way to put it. And the word mind here has a Greek word. It's the same Greek word as like-minded. So in Philippians, when he says, let this mind be in you, it's the same one Paul uses, phronio, that means to be like-minded. Let this like-mindedness that was in Christ be also then in you. All right? Now, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. That's the key that Paul is bringing to us here. And it is a gift from God that only those whom God has chosen can receive it, or receive this gift. Now notice Paul says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And notice then that it is according to Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. Christ means anointed. So we see that God had given us a gift to be like-minded. Now remember, Jesus himself was anointed. You see, he received an anointing from God. What was that anointing? It was to be like-minded. Let the mind that was in God be in him. He did nothing but what the Father showed him. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, the words I speak to you, the Father showed me. You see? In the book of Acts, it says, the same Jesus whom thou hast crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. The Bible also tells us that when Christ, it says Christ was anointed and he went forth and did many mighty and wonderful things. So the anointing then, God has to anoint the mind first, because if the mind is not anointed, then the body cannot follow. And the mind of Christ was to do the will of the Father. The mind of William Branham was anointed to do the will of the Father. And that's why he had to wait for the vision. He had to wait for the hat to be on the table. He had to wait exactly for things to be lined up. Then he knew that this was the way God wanted it. And he could say, now this is thus saith the Lord. You see, because thus saith the Lord isn't, well, I think it should be thus saith the Lord. But thus saith the Lord is the Lord said thus. And so I'm just saying what he said thus. All right? So the anointed Jesus, we see, according to Christ, the anointed Jesus. So we see that God has given us a gift to be like-minded. And not only to be like-minded, but like-minded towards one another. And notice he tells us according to Christ Jesus. Now, the only way that we can be like-minded is if we have the same mind. So he's telling us here that the same thing that he tells us in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, according to Christ Jesus, which was in Christ Jesus. And we know this can only come as God has ordained it to come. Now, in John chapter 1, if you turn with me, and we'll read from verse 12. But as many as received him. Now, the word received here is a Greek word, lambano, which means to take to oneself, to lay hold upon, to take possession of, i.e. to appropriate to oneself, or to catch it, such as catch the vision, to reach after, to strive to obtain. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power. And this word power is not dunamis. Now, we all know the word dunamis means when the Bible speaks of great, he comes with great power and glory. The word dunamis means strength and miraculous miracles and those kind of things. But the word, this word here that says that he gave them power to them that were of such a nature as to be able to receive, to lay possession, to hold on to him, to them gave he power. He gave them exousia. And the word exousia means the power of choice. The ability to make a right decision. There is a way which seems right to man. That's men in general. But the way thereof is what? It's the way of death. You see? Man of his own self cannot make a right decision. Brother Branham said that. They cannot. So God has to give us an ability. He grants to us to be like-minded. To them gave he power. To them gave he exousia. To be like-minded. To become sons of God. And the word become means to be fulfilled as in your role as a son. To become sons of God. The word there, become, is a Greek word, ginomai. And it means that you, it doesn't mean that you were a hog and now you become a lamb. It does not mean that you were a seed of the devil and now you become, now you've been given power to become a seed of God. It means to be fulfilled as sons. In other words, God gives you the power to make the right decision to become what you already are. In 1 John 3 and 2, he says, beloved, now are we sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, you look at yourself and you say, am I really? I mean, it doesn't look like it to me. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, when he shall manifest in his true character, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Our life shall appear. Then shall we appear with him, like-minded, see, with him, in glory, in doxa, in the opinion, the assessment, the judgment of God. And he says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And didn't Jesus say, I purify myself, I sanctify myself, Father, that they might be sanctified? You see? So even as he is pure, and how did Jesus purge himself? How did Jesus purify himself, sanctify himself? Oh, you say Jesus didn't have to be sanctified. He wasn't born of sin. But he did. He said, I sanctify myself, Father. Now, what does he mean by that? He said, I let my own thinking go. I got myself out of the way, Father, that they might get themselves out of the way. You see? How do you purify yourselves? To get yourself out of the way. It's just that simple. Brother Brown said the greatest gift isn't praying for the sick, isn't all these things. He says it's the ability to get yourself out of the way. God gives you the power to make the right decision so that you can get yourself out of the way and allow the word or allow the role which God has called you to be fulfilled. In Psalm 119, verse 9, David says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Excuse me. By taking heed thereto, according to the word. What does it mean, taking heed? It means being careful to watch the word. How do you cleanse yourself? By the word, by the washing of water, by the word. You see, the word cleanses. What does that do? It removes your own thinking and allows the thinking of God to have preeminence. Then he goes on to say, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, thy word. See? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What's happening here? A cleansing. A getting aside. Stepping aside. Letting the word have preeminence. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Notice, David's mouth is now reflecting what's in his mind, which has been changed from the mind of David to the mind of God. He goes on to say, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, my estimation now has changed. You see, the word doxa, glory, it means the estimation, the opinion, or the judgment. Now the things that I value have changed to what you value. You see? I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, what I hold as treasure today is not what I hold as treasure yesterday. I hold your word to be treasure. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. How does a young man cleanse his way? Washing of water. By the word. There are 150 verses in this Psalm 119 that show us how to cleanse our own selves and to get our own selves out of the way. And every verse tells us to let the word of God abide richly in your heart. That is how we become sons. That is how we become fulfilled in our role as sons. By getting out of the way as Jesus got himself out of the way, as William Branham got himself out of the way, as the Apostle Paul got himself out of the way, as Moses got himself out of the way, so too, we become fulfilled in our role when we learn how to get out of the way. Now, by getting out of the way as Jesus got himself out of the way, we'll go to John 5 and 19. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And in John 5 and verse 30, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. The words that I speak unto you, John 14 and 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. They're not my words. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And in St. John 12 and 49, Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. In John 7 and verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So you see, he's saying, if you just get your will out of the way and do his will, you'll know the doctrine. You see, it's a matter of the mind. It's a matter of the desire. Do we want to have a great thing where we are a great person, where we are some great big shot? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus came to be a big shot. I don't think William Branham came to be a big shot. I don't think there's one big shot among us. John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat. Well, what's your meat? Well, that's the thing that you live by. And that's the thing that you live for. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My will is to do his will. Or my meat, the thing I live for, is to do his will and to fulfill what he's called me to do. In John 6:38, we hear Jesus say, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Notice again, Alpha repeating in Omega, at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we see that Jesus didn't do anything unless the Father showed him first, and he didn't speak anything except God showed him to speak, and he did not have his own doctrine except the doctrine that God gave him to say, and he came not to do his own will but the will of the Father. And that is what Paul is saying when he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And that is what he's saying when he said that God has given us a gift to be like-minded or to have the same mind. And that is what John means when he said that God has given us a gift to be able to make the right decision. And the right decision is to become fulfilled as sons. And that means that we have been given grace to get ourselves out of the way, to let go of our own thoughts and let go of our own actions and let go of our own pet doctrines and let go of our own will. And we have been given the power to get ourselves out of the way and do the same things he says and think the same things he says and speak the same things he says and let our will go and receive God's will, our Father's will, and then thus say and do and act according to as God would have us act. How does a young man cleanse himself? By taking heed to the word thereof. By taking heed, by being careful to acknowledge God's words having the preeminence above their own words. And how do we learn to get ourselves out of the way? Jesus said in John 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, listen, and hath learned of the Father, not only hearing, but learning of the Father, cometh unto me. If you don't learn, you don't come. You may hear, but that doesn't necessarily mean you will come. But if you hear and learn, you see, then you will come. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Past tense. So you can't believe unless you hath, past tense, everlasting life. In other words, you were part of God to begin with. Brother Brown said, if there was no representation before, there's no representation after. Now in John 1 and verse 12, we pick up again. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the ability to make a right choice, to become fulfilled as the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now watch how this is accomplished. In verse 13 he says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but how? God. See, he says you can't do this. It comes only by God. Because God alone gives you the ability to be like-minded to himself. God has to do it. And then he does, and then when he does, all you have to do is just surrender your life to him and live for him and live by him and live through him. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, we read, for in him we live and move, that's the actions, and have our being, as certain of your prophets or your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art and man's devices. In other words, Godhead is not man's devices. Not according to man's devices, not according to man's thinking. My thoughts are not your thoughts, he says. He says, as far as the heavens are from the earth, my thoughts are from your thoughts. It's not the device of man. It's not the man's thinking. It's God's thinking and God's doing. And what does that lead to? John 1 and 14. Now listen, because this is us, not just the Son of God. Because Brother Branham said, as Jesus came, so must we come. This verse 13, which says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let this mind be in you. That's the message. That's what Paul is telling us. That's what William Branham was telling us. The Word became flesh. The Word becomes flesh. God's own thinking becomes flesh in you. Your actions reflect His thoughts. Your speech reflects His thoughts. Your doctrine reflects His doctrine. You see? From the Word became flesh an India trip. Listen to this. Tremendous, tremendous. Brother Ram says, when Jesus, no wonder when He come off the hill that night, and He looked around the tree for food, there was no food on the tree. And He said, no man eateth from thee henceforth. And He went on His way. And the next day, coming back, the tree withered. God's mind, the mind that in the beginning, that was a thought before it was a word, that expressed Jesus Christ, the same one was expressing that word back again, see? And every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid in seed form. That if received into the human being and spoken by the same thought that materialized the Bible, it brings the thing to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be? The Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be a world. Before it could be a word, it had to be a thought. So God in the creation created the world by His thoughts first. Then He spoke it, and the thought expressed became material. You see what I mean? Now, if that same Spirit that said, let there be light, and there was light, that said, let there be trees, and there was trees, if that same mind that was in Christ be in you, how much could it say, let there be no cancer, and it would be gone? Now think about that. Let the blind eyes be opened, and it would be so. You see, it's your thought. Jesus said, verily, you said, that was Jesus. But wait a minute. He said, have faith in God, for verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall say to this mountain, be moved, plucked up, and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever things thou sayest. You remember a few years ago, we had 102 degree temperature for 6 days or more. Brothers in the church, several of you had gotten sick on the job. Others had gotten sick. My wife had gotten sick. The exhaustion, the heat. God placed it on our heart to ask God to change the weather by 30 degrees. After church, we walked out, just a little cloud in the sky about the size of your hand. Within an hour after, all of a sudden those a storm cloud, as far as the horizon could see and looked like a mile high, came through, and the temperature dropped from 102 to 70 degrees. Remember, we were all over at your house, Betsy, and everybody saw it. It was just a tremendous thing. You see, if your thoughts become His thoughts, it's like the time that we prayed for the laptops. An hour and a half later, we were offered 82 laptops. Now, do you think it was because I asked or because God placed His thoughts there and we reflected His thoughts? You see, that's how it works. It's not your ideas, your desires. It's your coming into line with God's ideas, His desires, and reflecting back His Word, and then God actuates that Word, materializes that Word, because He gave that Word to you to say so that He could express Himself. See, Jesus didn't come to express Son. He came to express the Father. He said, Father, thy name have I glorified, not my name, even though he had the same name. He came to be an expression of the Father. Brother Branham said that Jesus came to be to express the attitude of God towards man. Let's read on what he says here. Now, you can't express it in a mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it before it happens, and express it in word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material. A thought expressed. Oh my, how God could. See, if your heart and your mind is so infilled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become His thoughts, not His thoughts becoming your thoughts, your thoughts reflecting His thoughts. There you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, oh my. What kind of people should we be? If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of a church would we be? What kind of a people would it be this morning if this Branham Tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God? Why? When you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thoughts, didn't even have no alternative of your own, but just led by the Spirit. And they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then when the human element goes out and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself, amen, then will be when the church is in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It will walk in His steps, in His power, in His thoughts, in His being, in His moving. You see what I mean? Then your thoughts will become words, and words will become material. That's when the church is in its power. I believe it's on the road that when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind, so away from themselves that they don't see themselves. They don't have no thoughts but to serve God. And their thoughts move on. And they refuse the things of the world. They just move in by the Spirit. They live in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost, that great, wonderful church will go forth with power and deity. Because deity will be revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit bringing to pass the thoughts of their mind. Our thoughts run different. A lot of times we walk up and we say, how do you, brother? And you don't mean it in your heart. A lot of times we say, I am this and I am that, or I will do that. But you don't really mean it in your heart. See? I don't mean it in my heart, but when you become so dead to the things of the world that Christ is first, Christ is all, then your entire makeup is of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has full control. That's when your thoughts will be clean. That's when your thoughts will be pure. In 1 John 3:3, and every man that has his hope in Him purifies himself even as he is pure. That's quite a statement. But what Brother Branham was telling us there is that's his ministry. And that's ours. Not that we're supposed to become little prophets and running around and, you know, but we're supposed to move, be led. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not your spirit bearing witness with His Spirit, but His Spirit is bearing witness that you have His Spirit. You see, everybody can say, well, I believe there's a God. Well, I can identify with God. My spirit bears witness that, you know, God is God. No, He says, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit. that we are the children of God. Why? Because God has granted you to be like-minded. And as you become like-minded, you're showing that you are His children. And His children are obedient children. They don't have their own mind. They don't have their own mindset. They don't have their own attitude and their own way. I'm going to do it my way. No, they have the attitude that our oldest brother had. He said, not my will, but thy be done. Father, I would. I would. That's my will, is to take this cup from me. But Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The words I speak, they're not my own words. The Father commanded me what to say, and I'm telling you. Notice this is not you saying. I bear witness to that. But this tells us that God is now bearing witness to your spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And what will happen if God bears witness that we are His children? He will give you power to become. He will give you power to become fulfilled as sons, to make a right decision. And that decision is to get yourself out of the way, that He might become fulfilled as His children should be fulfilled. And that is to do His will. Jesus, our older brother, said, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me. He said, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of Him, of my Father that sent me. That's the image that we are to be conformed to. Paul said in Romans 8:28, excuse me, now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, that's those He knew beforehand. That means that we were His children, we were in Him, His seed. He also did that He, Jesus, the only begotten, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And if He's the firstborn, that tells us there's other born ones, you see. In fact, the Weiss translation says that He might be the eldest brother in a vast family of brothers. So we come back to where we began this morning, where the Apostle Paul said that you may be one with one mind and one mouth, may glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word glorify that Paul speaks is the word doxozo, which is from the root word doxa, which means to have the same opinion, the same judgment, and the same estimation or value that God has. And how do we do that? We think His thoughts. And we say His thoughts. And we express His thoughts. And we manifest His thoughts. And in doing so, we are sons in the image of the eldest brother in a vast family of brethren. You see the confirmation? Conforming to? From the unveiling of God, Brother Bram said, Jesus once said, when you see me, you see the Father. You see? God and His Word is one. Now you understand? When the Word is manifested, what is right? Or what is it? Right. See, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, you think that you have, you believe in God, believe also in me. If I do the works of my Father, then don't believe me, but if I do the works, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father God, because the Word is the Father. And the Word is God. And the Word made manifest is God Himself taking His own Word and manifesting it among believers. So what's your object as a son? To manifest your Father. Not yourself. Not your desires. Not your daughterhood. Not your sonhood. To manifest the desire, the thoughts of your Father. From show us the Father, and it'll satisfy, Brother Branham said. Now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible says so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared Him. Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. He says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me? He said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, now this is Brother Bram saying, in other words, you see the Father express Himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him, not him doing the works. He was a son himself, the mortal, virgin-born, Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Now I'd like to close in prayer. And as we do, I would like to pray as Jesus prayed. I'd like to pray his prayer. Would you allow me to do that? Because I want you to notice his prayer. His prayer must become our prayer. Because Paul said our like-mindedness was to be towards one another according to Christ Jesus. So let's read this with you and me in mind here. Not in my mind and in your mind, but in Christ Jesus' mind. As he's praying it, I want you to think of how he's praying about you to the Father, and as he prays to the Father. So at this time, if we could all bow our heads and our hearts for the next few minutes, I'd just like to read Jesus' prayer to us. John 17. These words spake Jesus as he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power, exousia, the ability to make the right decision over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have expressed your opinion. I have expressed your judgment. I have expressed your estimation, the value of your name, the value of your word. I have expressed these, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And what was the word that I came to do? It was to express the will of you, Father, to God's other children. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name, not my name, but I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they also have kept thy word. Now they have known that all these things whatsoever that thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I didn't give them my own words. I didn't give them my own thoughts, nor my own doctrine, nor my own actions, but I gave them your words, which you gave me. I gave them your words, and they have received them. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are one. And Father, if I and you are one, like your fingers one, then they would have to be one, as your fingers one. But we know that that is not so, that we are one because we have your word, your thoughts, and therefore we express what you say. While I was with them in the world, I kept them, I preserved them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, I preserved, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things that I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Father, these are unselfish motives. I want them to have the joy that you have given me. And I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them for it, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not for that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Therefore, sanctify them, purify them by the same way that you purified me. And that is to give them that gift, to make the right decision, to give themselves out, to get themselves out of the way, even as I was able to get myself out of the way. And that comes through thy truth, for thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, I purify myself, I have gotten myself out of the way, that they also might be sanctified, that they might get themselves out of the way by thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one. That's us. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, your opinion, your judgment, your estimation, your very thoughts and mind, which thou gavest to me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, made complete, made fulfilled in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Father, I would that those that you have given to me will always be in my presence, even as I am always in your presence, that they may behold my glory, that they may behold how I have surrendered my mind to your mind, the mind which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May God bless you, and fill you, and give you his will and the desire to do his will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing in closing that song, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee." I believe it's number 6, verse 22. You see what it's all about? You see how simple understanding the relationship between the Father and the Son? It leads us to understand our own relationship with the Father, his desire over us to give us a one mind, a like mind, so that we would have his mind, his thoughts, do his will, his actions. Because when you've got his thoughts and cancer stands before you, it doesn't stand. When gangrene stands before you, it doesn't stand. When heat and weather stands before you, it doesn't stand. You see, Brother Branham, he was a man who understood these things to get his own thinking out of the way. And God used him in a mighty way to declare himself to this generation. And Jesus said the reason that he did the same was so that through your words, others might see the declaration of the Father and Son relationship as well. That's you, that's me, that's our opportunity. Just step aside, let go,